On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, I'm giving a lowdown of my trip to Minnesota as Nick heads to Hyde Park to revisit Jolly Pumpkin. All that and more on this week's episode. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley.
I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're back on this first work day of the week.
Fucking September already. It's going to be Christmas in no time.
I know, yeah.
Not the biggest fan. Endless summer. That's what I'm about, Brad.
It's over, man. Labor Day.
Shut your mouth.
The end. But we're still getting our summer on with some summer beer here.
We're hanging on, man. Summer's dying, but it ain't dead yet. We got a SPF from the Goose Island Beer Company, Brad. Fulton Street, Chicago.
Yeah, this is it's a passion fruit beer.
Yeah.
So passion fruit flavor.
Yeah, no Baldwinsville, New York here. No Colorado breweries. This is made right here, Brad.
Mm-hmm. So that's why it, you know, qualifies for a Chicago Beer Pass, I don't know, segment? Feature.
Hey, so this is you know, there's some cotton candy vibes in this that I kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What was the backdrop on this? I feel like we talked about this, and what was the base for this, and they added something to it.
Well, I think it originally started, or there was like rumor that there was a Sophie passion fruit.
Okay.
And this isn't Sophie, but it may have come from that, but
yeah, that's true. Because Sophie, I think, is that's one of my favorite beers. I actually think year round, I think that's the best beer they make is Sophie. I think Sophie's barrel aged, and then there's orange peel in it. So okay. Part of it's barrel aged, and part of it's barrel aged in wine barrels with orange peel, and then it's blended with fresh Sophie.
Mm-hmm. But this beer was a new offering this year, right?
I think you're right, yeah. And I think I saw it in cans. So I'm kind of surprised to see it. Yeah. And bottles. I mean, this beer does not suck. This is good. I like it.
It's a good beer. I am not the biggest fan of passion fruit.
Yeah.
In general, that's not my jam. Mm-hmm. But it's very light in this, and just kind of makes it a little more refreshing and summer-esque.
Yeah, you get little hints of those like little Valentine hearts, the candies. You get a little hint of that in there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's okay. But overall, it's solid.
Yeah. If you're at the beach or on a boat, man, this beer, you crush it.
This is going to work. The label is pink, and even the goose on the bottleneck, she's got a pink beak.
Right, so the little girl goose, then? Is it lipstick? Or it could be a guy, too. But I do like the almost like the throwback to the neck label that looks like the old school Bourbon County labels, right? A little bit. Like they might have the stars, but I'm so used to canned beer now, you don't even see the neck labels.
Yeah, I'm surprised you got bottles of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is cool. And after talking about our Bourbon County lineup, we put out that YouTube video, I don't know, what, Monday or Sunday on YouTube. So
we ran through all, what, seven? One, two, eight. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Yeah.
Eight. So, yeah, check out that video. It didn't go up as a podcast, but it's a video on the YouTube channel. So figured we'd feature some Goose Island as well to follow that up.
Right on. Good call.
So we'll crush these SPFs as we get into our adventures over the past week. Mm. So I traveled out of the state.
Right on.
Across.
Like you do.
Yeah. Across a couple states. Through Wisconsin into Minnesota.
Man, and soda. So you're taking 90 up. So you're probably passing like Chippewa Falls at that point. Passing Madtown.
Yep.
And then you went all the way to Minnesota, huh?
Yep.
Right on.
I did not go to the Prince Museum, as that's Nick's trek when he goes to Minnesota.
I've been like three times. it's mandatory for me when I go up there.
But I did drink quite a bit and just hang out with friends. I hit up a few breweries. One of the most notable and maybe one of the well-known Midwest breweries, Surly.
Oh, right on. A walking giant around these parts, Darkness Day, is something that we've all made our way to Minnesota to go hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I can't even imagine what Darkness Day is now compared to when we were going in the Brooklyn Center location.
Yeah.
Was there even a tap room at that time or barely?
I just remember being really cold and it's cold. It was in the, it took up what seemed like the whole parking lot. And it was like, you know, it used to piss me off because like you could get Darkness in stores. So I was like, well, damn.
Why am I waiting in line?
We've been up here, we've been up since 5, you know? Yeah.
You get up there, wait in line in like end of October, I want to say.
Yeah.
And it's really cold.
And that's Brooklyn Center, like you were saying. That's the original brewery. Yeah. Is that still a thing or did they move or?
That I'm not sure on, you know, not being from there.
Yeah.
But I had heard that everyone always raved about the new one, the production brewery. The other one might be still there. Maybe it's like a barrel or maybe they got rid of it totally. I don't know.
Yeah.
Someone from Madison or from Minnesota would have to correct me on this, but this day is it puts breweries to shame.
And this is the new brewery, less than 4 years for sure.
Yeah,
in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we roll up, and there are cars lined up on the street. I even see a stage like in the parking lot. I was like, ah, crap! Is there like some sort of event happening or something that?
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be able to get in because this is really the only day I could go. No, this place is just that busy.
Wow.
The streets are full. People are, like, walking in from, like, blocks away. It's like, what is happening here? When you walk in, there's a couple people checking your IDs before you even, like, enter the grounds, really. Like, they're out there, right? And you're like, what is this? Like, I felt like there was, like, a show for, like, I just want to eat and drink. Like, why are you checking IDs way out here? But then you walk in and it's this massive, massive beer hall on the first floor.
Yeah.
Second floor is a pizza place. And then outside, sprawling grounds. You can drink outside. There are tents. There's food tents, bags, just picnic tables. Like, it.
Sure.
It's amazing.
Shirley's got a campus, it sounds like, for a brewery tap room.
Yeah, the only thing that I could even equate it to maybe would be like Great Divide. Like their space is pretty large and feels like kind of overwhelming when you go there. Or even Stone's like Garden Beer, is it their bistro? Yeah.
Yeah, Beer Gardens and World Bistro.
Yeah.
Down in Escondido, California.
Yeah, when you go out there, it's like this big open garden area, and you're kind of like, oh, my God, where am I? But that's, like, tiny compared to what this Surly thing was.
Yeah, Surly's the biggest brewery in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, their Darkness Day is so big that I think last year they held it in Wisconsin, like at some, like, amphitheater in Wisconsin.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like, it's like Minnesota can't hold Surly anymore.
Yeah, which is crazy to think, too. There was that time when Surly had to pull out of the Chicago market because they couldn't keep up with either the demand of Chicago or just the demand there, or maybe it might have been restructuring things or whatever. But
always good beers from Surly. Yeah. Always good one-offs. The Darkness is always a smash.
Yeah, and all the beers are still good now that Todd is over at Three Floyds.
Yeah, that was a strange move because he was a head brewer at Todd the Axeman was his beer at Surly. I think he was a head brewer and his wife was like running the show on the hospitality side.
Yeah, and that was when they were, like, tiny.
Yeah, and then they both left, and now they're Floyd's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so the beer is still really good, which is a testament to just, like, what everyone at Surly is doing, that it wasn't just Todd who made them great, but...
Good practices.
Yeah.
Good yeast management. Good recipe design.
Uh-huh. I had heard the pizza was good.
Yeah.
And so I went there for pizza. This pizza rivals Peace Chicago.
No kidding.
I think there should be a throwdown between Surly and Peace.
I think that's an excellent idea. I'm seeing all these pop-ups for like, you know, oh, there's this New York deli that's popping up. Bro, there's this super cool Asian fusion joint from LA that's popping up. I want to see a goddamn Surly Brewery pizza standoff.
Because it is, Peace Brewery. It's like a New Haven mixed with Coal Fire kind of thing that Surly's doing. So
yeah,
the dough. Ooh, the dough is so good.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
Man. You're making me want to go, man.
It's go. Get in the car and drive.
It's like we were saying on the Great Taste episode, like that's one of my adopted favorite scenes is Minnesota, because, you know, it's the only one of the only Midwest states that I kind of know a lot of the breweries.
Okay, yeah.
That I visited a lot of breweries, I should say. So, but yeah, man, I'm always down to go up there. Yeah. What, about 6 hours in a car or something like that?
Yeah, you can do about six. I think if you make a stop and start drinking somewhere else in Madison, then it ends up being like 8 hours. Yeah. But
yeah, you fly, it's an hour, but that's no fun.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go.
Drive up there.
Cruise. Mm-hmm. Listen to tapes on the Flat Earth Theory.
So yeah, that, I don't know, I can't even say enough good things about Surly. Like, Darkness was on tap. I didn't have it.
The coconut rum barrel aged one was one of the ones this year. Yeah. I missed it. I don't know what it tastes like.
Their merch game was on point. I got a hat. I'm not wearing it now, but they had like 50 hats. So much other stuff. You could get socks and records they had.
There you go.
So they had a lot of stuff. It was intense.
That sounds good, man.
Yeah.
That sounds all right, man. Yeah.
So that was one of the, I think, highlight Minnesota stops. Did the state fair again. Lots of those, like, funnel cake beers and, I don't know, cookies and cream beers, like, fair kind of beers that you get burnt out on real fast.
The almost kind of gimmicky stuff.
Yeah. That you're walking around, it's hot, it's sunny. I don't want a cookies and cream beer.
Yeah.
Give me that Mexican lager or something like that, so.
They say Minnesota State Fair is actually one of the better ones you can go to.
It's awesome State Fair, yeah. And it's almost turned into a beer fest now, because there's just the amount of beer in Minnesota is crazy. They had a whole area that's dedicated to the brewing practices and the arc and one of their farm areas, and you can do flights at a lot of places now, so you have like four samples people are walking around, and
it's got a funky kind of chill small town vibe. It kind of reminds me just a tad of Portland, where it's just kind of weird and off to its own, and people from there are like all about it and they don't care about much else, but you know what I mean, when I was there, I was there for like maybe a weekend.
Cool.
And I got those kind of vibes from it.
Yeah, it's a cool little town. What else? Also, moving out to Duluth, hit up Bent Paddle, sporting that hat. Love that brewery. They make just good, almost like classic beers. Yeah. You know, I overheard someone saying like, oh, the head brewer doesn't mess around with haze. He doesn't like it. And so they just have like some good black ales, some good stouts, some good pilsners. They have a session IPA. It's just like easy drinking, like, I don't know, hangout beers.
Right on. This is on the outskirts. So he's got the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And this is one of the ones that's surrounding the two big cities.
Yeah. So this is Duluth. They're like it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours from the Twin Cities.
Okay.
Yeah. So we hung out there for a while, drank.
And then we drove to Canada. No.
We drove to Canada. No. And then on the way back, stopped in Madison on Labor Day. Went to One Barrel.
Went to One Barrel Brewing.
Yeah.
Man, I lost my One Barrel shirt. We just did a One Barrel episode like a week ago.
I know, on the YouTube channel. Check that out with their Banjo Cat.
Man, I love that shirt, man.
I know. I looked for another one because you mentioned it. I was like, maybe I'll surprise Nick with this. Their merch game wasn't on point. Seeing Surly's, like, I don't know, like office building size merchandise. But that little spot is cool. I like their little vibe, their design, everything. I picked up cans of their haze, so maybe after this episode we'll crack a can, record a video.
This joint can't possibly be like still one barrel though, right? Like,
I guess. But they have two spots. This was the one in Madison.
Okay.
And they have another one somewhere else in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
No, they can't be a one barrel.
Should have kept the book. Should have kept a great taste book.
Yeah, they're making too much beer.
They gotta be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had, I don't know, like 10 beers on tap. You know, we were driving, so I did the commuter, which was their Kolsch, solid offering, and then picked up a 4-pack of the haze. So we'll dive into some haze.
That's a nice little excursion on the trip north, man. Past Chippewa Falls, hit Madison, hit Minnesota.
Yeah.
And come on back.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's a solid route.
And the Madison, you can get there in just under 3 hours. So it's not too bad.
Hit the open road, man. Learn about some new breweries.
Yeah. I was there with Ken Huntermeter, and he hit up Nuclearis on the way up.
Honey, money.
Yeah. So he did that little stop. good times out there. Lots of photos on the Instagram of drinking on the beach, drinking all these new beers. It was cool.
I'm like, Brad's putting in work, man. Well, I'm sitting here on the couch for hour number four playing fucking Grand Theft Auto.
All right.
Brad's out here in these streets.
I'm getting after it.
Yeah.
What can I drink? Give me it all. So you just did your Labor Day. What? No, you hit up a couple spots. I saw.
I went to a few spots, man. Shout out to Lake Effect.
Okay.
Swam by Lake Effect. I haven't been there in a while.
Oh, yeah.
So Clint, who's running the show there.
One of our early guests.
Yeah. Former Beer Pass special guest. Yeah, he released two beers this weekend. One was a barrel-aged coconut cream stout, and another one was a sangria wild ale.
Cool.
I mean, Clint knows his way around a barrel. You know, always get excited about his barrel-aged offerings, you know, like the barrel-aged super shake.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, one of his beers at one of his beers took a silver at FOBAB.
Nice.
In fruit beer category, Cerise de Michigan. So that was off color. And Goose were in that category. And Clint took a silver that year.
Did Lake Effect, did they do the Superdog beer?
They also do the Superdog beer.
Can you get that at Superdog?
That's what I think. Okay. Right? But the Superdog sell, they probably don't sell any beer except that one.
I guess. Because
I've never known them to just be like, yeah, we got cocktails and hot dogs. Right? It's always just like, yo, we just got hot dogs.
I haven't been a Superdog in a while. And yeah, I was thinking about that.
Same. He makes a beer for the Morton Arboretum. Oh. That's out west, like Lombard, Lyle-ish. And and for Superdog, so he's got a nice little thing going, you know, right there and right off the train at Cicero and Montrose.
Cool.
So whatever neighborhood that is, that might be Jeff Park.
Maybe. Yeah.
You can walk to Old Irving Brewery from his brewery. It's like less than 10 minute walk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I got to see him. You know, he's pouring from this beer, pouring from this this bar, and you know, I went to a party at his condo once in Lincoln Park, and he had this bar. And it's like, yeah, this was his dad's bar. His dad brought it back from World War II. He's pouring from this classic kind of white vintage tiki bar.
Okay.
Like in the tap room. You know, you know how you've been? You've been to Lake Effect. You got
no, I've never been.
Oh, you kind of have. It's off of like Montrose, and it, you know, there's a costume shop on Montrose, and then there's a side alley, and you have to walk down the alley.
Okay.
You know, to get to this spot, it's very strange, right? There's like roosters and shit in the back. Like, this is a weird setup, right? But yeah, we're down there hanging out. And, you know, people find this joint because it's, you know, a metro station stops right there at, you know, like steps away. So it was cool. Oh, the other beer was a sangria wild ale. So that's a 18 months in a Cabernet barrel, 6.5%. It's got a bunch of fruit, apple, grape, pomegranate, and blueberry. He said that's a collab with the Green Lady. That was fantastic. I actually like that more because, you know, I hear coconut and I'm like, well, where's the coconut beer?
Yeah,
I'm all in on the coconut, but this was more chocolate than coconut, but this fucking sangria thing was really nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So did you go there knowing the beer release, or you just kind of like...
That's why I went. That's why I went.
Okay.
I was like, yo, what's up with those beers? He's like, oh, well, why don't you try them? So I'm like, all right, cool. You know, we hung out, we got to talk, because that was one of the stops on the brew bus. So imagine like, you know, imagine we're trashed, it's 8 p.m., and I'm like, hey, I know you guys just met me, but... let's go walk down this alley to get to this brewery. Like, yeah, trust me, don't worry. There's a brewery back here. You know, but we just, you know, we had a good time. That was one of our original stops. So.
Cool.
It was fun. Our stickers, all of our stickers are there, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's a Brew Bus sticker. There's a Beer Pass sticker.
Oh, did you get a photo?
I should have.
Get that out there.
Yeah.
So that's, spot our stickers in the wild.
Yeah. A good old school hang. Because Clint's got to be sick, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Man. Awesome. And so did you have bottles of them?
Yeah.
Took them away?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
So I'm just sitting on those.
Cool.
So whenever. Uh-huh. Yeah, man. And then I went down to Hyde Park, man.
Oh, okay.
You know, South Side per usual. You know, I make the trek, man. Rogers Park is like really painful to leave, like, right. Like, because it's an hour to get anywhere.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I'm always out south. You know, I go to size games. You know, I go. Mm-hmm. I'm always out there. So I went to Jolly Pumpkin.
Oh, okay.
And got reacquainted.
Forgot about it.
Totally forgot about this joint.
Yeah.
I think the last time I went there was with after, what's the party? The party at the Soldier Field. The one that's actually on the field.
Oh, the Ale Fest?
No. Nah, not because that's Josh's party. Maybe the classic.
Chi-Town Classic?
No, yeah, Chicago, they're VIP.
Chicago Beer Classic. Yeah, that's
yeah. That's the last time I've been to Jolly Pumpkin. We were like, where are we going to go from here?
Yeah.
No, let's go south. Let's go to Motorola. It's like, nah, well, let's go Jolly Pumpkin.
Okay.
So I ended up at Jolly Pumpkin. Man, the VIP at that fucking Midwest Classic thing, it sucked so hard. Dude, fucking Prairie Crafts and...
Who are still open, by the way. I'm pretty sure they should be closed, but they're still open. I called them one day, and I was like, are you guys open? They're like, yep. Like, oh, thanks.
I'm like, you know, everything's on the field, so I'm sitting on the 50-yard line, you know. And you got to go way up in the concourse to get to this VIP section. And fucking Prairie Crafts and, like, who makes Zombie Killer? That meatery.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude.
Sizer.
What is this? This is your fucking VIP? It's 300 yards away.
Yeah.
Oh, but anyway, Jolly Pumpkin.
But the good bathrooms up there in the VIP.
Yeah, bathrooms, just couches.
Yeah.
You know. You know, AC, there's some hors d'oeuvres, you know. Yeah. Oh, man. So come to find out, Jolly Pumpkin's a distillery now.
Oh.
Like, okay. Who knew? So they're in Dexter, Michigan, wherever that is, right? And they've always had, at this Jolly Pumpkin pub, there was always a menu of clean beers, because Jolly Pumpkin's all oak-aged sour beer since 2004.
Yeah.
Oh, but there's a North Peak.
Yeah.
So apparently that was a collab. That was like they joined forces. Like they're a combined company since 2013. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really understand that.
Okay.
So yeah.
I knew I was part of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So Northern United Brewing Company is what they call themselves. That's the collective.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And they're all about the takeover. Like, hey, where can we go? Set up pubs, different food concepts, and let's sell all this fucking beer. And Ron Jeffries, the guy behind Jolly Pumpkin, is just going to manage, because they shared the brew house. So he's going to manage both programs.
Okay.
Yeah. So I learned about that. Oh, the reason I went out is because they changed their setup in the, they have servers now. Because, you know, it was kind of like.
It was a mess.
Yeah. It was like Link's Tap Room. Like, you go to the bar for everything. There were no servers.
Yeah. And when you walked in, I think I talked about this when I first went. You walked in. If there was no line, they instantly were like, what can I get for you? It's like, I have no idea. And you have to order your food and your beer like all at once. And so you're kind of very much overwhelmed.
There's a strange partition from the seating area and, you know, the area where you walk in and where the board is.
Yeah.
And then also all their names of their beers are like in like some weird Spanish novel shit, right? You're like, man, dude, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening right now.
I know. Give me like a half hour to figure out like what you have, what's going on here.
So they changed the whole setup, you know, and they're like, hey, that thing, you know, the walk-up service thing kind of flies in other neighborhoods, but in Hyde Park, people have their kids, people want to sit down, people want to be served.
Yeah.
So like, let's revamp everything. And now there's a ton of vegan options, and then they have a, you know, seated service.
Cool.
That was cool. So you sit down, and then it's like, man, when you think about all these other breweries that are making, you know, kettle sours or even like, you know, full-on like aged sours, you forget that they've been doing sours for 15 years now.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
So some delicious stuff on tap down there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, dark sours and Belgian sours.
Yeah, they were kind of the only sour game for a long time, and I think introduced a lot of people to what sour beers were or are. Yeah.
Yeah, I really love their artwork. You know. And the whole thing kind of looks like a clubhouse, like a treehouse kind of. You know, it's like a treehouse / winery vibe in there.
Yeah.
You know, like it's very scenic. And then once you sit down and talk to everybody there, you're like, I don't understand how this all came about. And then, you know, we might have talked about it before, how like the University of Chicago is kind of like really driving the transformation of, I guess that's 53rd Street.
Okay.
Where it's all that's like the main drag where all the businesses are.
It's nice over there.
It's very cool. Yeah.
It's weirdly out of place.
It's really busy too. Yeah. Like I felt like I was on fucking, you know, like Wells Street or something. Like it was packed. Like I'm on Rush Street. Like
it it's like its own downtown it's like a suburbs downtown.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's still a city.
It's weird to say out loud, but that's what's going on.
Right. Because there's no, it doesn't really connect to anywhere. It doesn't connect to like a, like, there are main streets, but they're like very heavily trafficked streets around there.
Yeah.
But.
So there's hotels now, there's cocktail bars. Like it's cool. It's a burgeoning scene. So yeah, I'm like, oh, but like I think the chancellor of the University of Chicago and Ron Jeffries, the founder of Jolly Pumpkin, you know, they were friends. And I think he said, hey, you know what we need here? We need a pizza joint and we need a brewery. And I think other breweries tried to put their bid in, but I think Ron was like, listen, we can just give you both.
Yeah.
And we'll slide on in. And it's such a bizarre thing, like, you know, sour beer from Michigan, in Hyde Park, and, oh, we're going to serve pizza. And on paper, none of this works. But when you go, you just see every walk of life there. It's a strange meld of all these different types of people. And it seems to all, they got a nice patio.
Yeah.
The place is very scenic, and it all seems to fit.
Yeah.
In a very strange way, it all fits.
I think it fits, but it doesn't necessarily feel Chicago, right? Like, we forget about it often because Jolly Pumpkin's a Michigan brewery.
Yeah.
If it was somebody else, might remember.
Yeah. I know the Promontory's down there, and I want to say those guys are related to either the Deuce Six guys or the Lawman and Eagle, that restaurant, the Promontory, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's actually a Promontory Point where there's a lot of cool events that actually sit, like, on the water.
Oh, cool.
It is adds to the strangeness that is the island that is Hyde Park.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like this. And, you know, they do the Silver Room Block Party down there, which was a, it's like a boutique jewelry shop that threw some cool parties in on, you know, across the street from Lynx.
Oh, yeah.
And Wicker Park. And yeah, then they moved. Yeah. They moved to Hyde Park. And they throw this massive, like, 50,000-person party over 3 days.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it's got its, it's a completely, it's a completely own, they got their own rhythm down there.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it was nice to just get reacquainted with that whole scene.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Hyde Park in, like, 2 years. Just to chill like that, I haven't been in 2 years. So.
No, like, yeah, the last time I was there, really the only time was going to Jolly Pumpkin.
Yeah. So it was nice. It was like a nice little destination. You know, you can get, you know, you take a metro train from Millennium Station, and, you know, like, the third, fourth stop is this 53rd Street.
Cool.
So cheers to those guys, man. I had a good time down there.
Nice.
Yeah. Woo.
Awesome. Good little run there. I'm trying to, you know, not go over an hour here.
That was our rhythm for a long time. It was like, let's get in and out, 30 minutes, hit the commute, you know, or, you know, you're getting dressed for work, here's your 30 minutes, boom, you're done.
Yeah, so now we got so much to say, so much to talk about, so many opinions about what's happening out there in the world, but let's go over some events, and we'll quickly wrap this up, maybe.
Right on, man. Let's talk about this weekend. Let's see. Should we start Friday? Friday is the 6th, Lucky Door, which is the All Chicago Tap Room steps from Wrigley Field. They're celebrating their 2-year anniversary with a barbecue bash.
Oh, cool.
So they're known for just having all Chicago tap lists, right? All cool stuff that you probably can't find in stores, right? This is a $60 ticket. There's 20 breweries that are going to be barbecue. They're not saying who's barbecue.
Okay. That's weird.
A little bit. Oh, but, you know, be a chance to hang out at Wrigley. And then also, you know, there's a gigantic Big Star right across the street.
So if whoever's barbecue it is sucks, you can get tacos. Yeah,
fucking tacos and margies.
I haven't been over there in years.
Yeah. That's a fun little spot because it's like on Wrigley. It's on Wrigley property. It's like, you know, there's like a whole little, you know, little like a, what do you call it? A little outdoor pavilion-ish thing.
I haven't been over there since the Goose got torn down. So it's been forever.
Man.
I've been to Jolly Pumpkin sooner than I've been to Wrigley Field area.
Then you've been to Wrigley? Yeah. Let's see. So that is Friday. What is Saturday? Oh, Saturday is Brewyard's first ever festival, man. Quakefest. That is the Norwegian Farmhouse Yeast Festival. That is a $75 ticket from 1 to 5 on Saturday. There's going to be 30 breweries there.
Cool. This should be fun to see what they do for a festival, because we know we have the wall, that fourth wall there's 10 taps right on each thing.
That sounds right.
So our Bulldogs beers coming off, our Around the Bend beers coming off, like, where, if there's 30 breweries.
Oh yeah, you're right.
What are they doing?
Yeah. Are they using the outdoor space? You know, is a festival where, you know, people are just coming in and bringing, like, old school, not old school, but are they bringing festival jockey boxes?
Right. And do you, well, it's a 70 ticket, so, but yeah, are you pouring your own too at the fest, at the event?
You gotta be. It's gotta be an indoor outdoor play.
And you pour yourself.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. How is this gonna work?
But you want to learn about this because this is a unique strain, and I think a lot of these breweries are foreign, and they're foreign to everyone.
Right. They're like literally like international breweries.
So
yeah, how's
should
that
be fun to see what they end up doing.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been in a while. Love their space. That's one of the best tap rooms around.
That's pretty nice. Yeah.
It's a nice space.
You haven't been to Surly, but So get your tickets, or if for whatever reason you don't make it or can't make it, Sunday, like we said, there might be some stuff still around that they might still have. So.
Let's see. Cheers to the Green Lady. Let's see. September 9th is her 8th anniversary. So she's right across the street from Bitter Pops on North Lincoln Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they're celebrating with their own collection of delicious beers. Vanilla D's going to be one of the beers they got on tap there.
So, nice.
Yeah. So cheers to her, man.
Good little weekend right there to kick off, you know, the end of summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when's that party for Ravinia?
Oh, that's Thursday. Thursday.
Oh, shit. That's coming up?
Yeah.
Man.
So we should probably go to that.
Yeah, we probably should. It's not that far.
No.
Should go say hi.
Yeah. And then you can definitely get tickets for Beer Hoptacular. That's coming up still.
It's coming up at the end of the month. Yeah, the 21st, yeah.
And then Goose Island Block Party is right around the corner, too.
Man, I've heard jack shit about this party. Have you?
Well, I've heard a little bit. I know they were kind of focused on that Riot Fest because they had that Riot Fest can that they put out.
That's a neat can.
Yeah.
You peel it off, and then there's the festival lineup.
Yeah.
Riot Fest is coming up soon. For a few years, they had the best lineup of any fest. Mm-hmm. You know, there's North Coast, there's Lala, and there's Riot Fest. Riot Fest always had the better fest lineup.
So, yeah, Block Party, I'm sure we could check our phones and look at the date, but that's coming up, so get ready for that, too.
Right on.
Cool. Yeah. Any news before we get out of here, or should we wrap this up in our 30-minute?
One more thing, a little bit about news, man. Our friends at the Hop Review, they posted something about a brewery called the Burning Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it's at the corner of Rockwell and Irving Park. And I've never heard of this thing at all. But yeah, if you look at, there's a discussion on Pro Brewer. There's a head brewer position open. There's a 5-barrel system. And they apply for, like, business license. This is back in February. So it sounds like this is a go.
Yeah.
So Burning Bush Brewery coming soon to North Center.
Interesting. Irving and Rockwell.
Yeah. So their beers at Burning Bush include Jesus Christ. Duck Duck Brew, Adam and Eve, and the Burning Brew. What the fuck is this?
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently coming soon.
It seems to be just like, what? There are like 3 new breweries that we haven't visited yet. There is that, the Project one.
Oh, yeah, off the 606.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is the other one that opened over by Ryan Hall.
There's a brewery that opened by Ryan Hall?
Yeah.
Pilot.
Well, there's Pilot, too.
That's because they had a beer. They made a beer for Ultra Fresh.
Right, but I thought that's in Logan Square. And then there's one over in...
I don't know the one over by...
Ryan Hall. Yeah, see?
I don't know that one.
We're slacking.
Oh, yeah, I can picture it now.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's at least 3 projects we don't know much about.
Right.
Yeah.
They kind of just opened, and we need to check these out.
Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of it. That's it, man.
All right.
That's it for news.
Let's get out of here. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass. Mm-hmm. Mention the YouTube channel, the Instagram. Follow us there. We're posting lots of stories and photos. The YouTube channel as well, beer reviews, other versions of the podcast or ramblings. Chicago Beer Pass After Dark might be coming soon. That should be its own pod, maybe in the same feed.
I can dig it.
So yeah, and we'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.